Good evening, everyone. Clinton Cole here with the Future Sox Podcast. It is Sunday night, January 27th, 2019. This is our second Future Sox Podcast of the new year, and it is a good one. It is a one of variety, but it's a good one. We've had some big news lately for Future Sox. You can follow us on Twitter at Future Sox. We are on Facebook at Future Sox, Instagram at Future Sox as well, and we have a YouTube channel for Future Sox, where I had the pleasure of interviewing, I don't know, five, six prospects this weekend at SoxFest. SoxFest just wrapped up as well. So check those interviews out for that. Getting back to the podcast. So tonight's episode, or tomorrow's episode, today's episode, whatever you want to call it, it is a smorgasbord of White Sox information. We're going to start things out with Laz Rivera. I spoke with Laz right after he got back from his trip to the Dominican with the White Sox prospects and the Dominican prospects for the White Sox as well. And then Blake Rutherford, I interviewed Blake back at the beginning of January. Talked with Blake a little bit about, you know, what he's doing, his good friend Christian Yelich, the end of the season he had, you know, what Blake's doing this offseason as well. And then at SoxFest, I was able to speak with Jason Benetti for about a minute and then Rick Hahn for maybe about 5 minutes. So those two interviews are on the end of the podcast as well. So a lot of stuff going on here. It's not very long, maybe about 36, looks like 35, 36 minutes here. So a lot of information, a little bit of time, but should be a good one. So we thank you for listening. Also at SoxFest, before I left on Saturday night or Saturday afternoon, I was able to spend about 10 minutes with Mike Rodolfo. He was nice enough to give me some of his time. So I talked with him about how the rehab's going. That will not be on the podcast. Instead, I'll be writing a little article about him. Mike is a good dude. Always takes time to talk with me, so I'm going to write up an article. We'll look for that one probably, I'd say, I don't know, maybe the beginning of next week. So that first week of February. Pitchers and catchers, just a few weeks away, and then spring training, and then another White Sox baseball season. So be sure to follow us along all season long for our minor league coverage at Future Sox Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and we've got that YouTube channel as well. Got a lot of good video stuff there for your viewing pleasure. All right, here we go. First one, it's Laz Rivera. Welcome back to another Future Sox podcast. Your host here, Clinton Cole, joining me on Skype now. Just back from the Dominican is Laz Rivera. Laz, thanks for your time today, man, and your weather there down in the Dominican probably a little bit better than it is in Chicago now.
I mean, I'm in Miami right now. The weather, it's nice. It's nice. We got nice 70s, mid-70s.
Yeah, I think the wind chill this morning was -8 here, so, you know. It's...
Yeah, well, yeah, that's not it.
A little rough. All right, you just came back from the Dominican. The White Sox put on a you know, I'm just going to let you tell everyone what they did. I don't want to mess anything up. So tell us what you guys did down there, who was there, how long you were there, all that good stuff.
We were there from Monday to Friday. I mean, it was just a great experience. I mean, the first on Monday, we got there. It was a travel day. We just kind of hung out. Tuesday, we got to the academy. We practiced. We did all the good stuff with baseball, got our work done in the cages, on the field. And then after that, they took us to a baseball game, which was really interesting because, I mean, I've never been to one, and it was just a good experience to see how excited they get when they get even a hit or a run scored. It was awesome. Wednesday, we went back to the field, the academy. We got our work done. And then we went to we did like a camp for kids. And that was just a great experience, man. I mean, the excitement those kids had out there, it's something that makes you – It kind of takes you back to when you were a little kid and enjoying everything about baseball before it actually became a job. And then Wednesday, we went to an orphanage. Thursday, we went to an orphanage. And that was just another phenomenal, great experience, getting to know, like, seeing all those kids, how happy they were just with them. We were giving them the hats, the shirts. Even when we were just playing with them, it was a good time, man. It was just very eye-opening to us.
So who all was there? I mean, I know a lot of some of the top prospects were there, and then some others from the Dominican League. Is that what was that all about then?
I mean, it was there. I mean, from the United States, it was we had Gavin Sheets, Jimmy Lambert, Zach Birdie, Dylan Cease, Steele Walker, Nick Madrigal, Zach Collins, Dane Dunning, and I mean from the Dominican, it was a couple guys there. I mean, Elo Jimenez was there.
Right.
He practiced with us those couple days. From the coaching staff point, it was Chris Getz was there, Kenny Williams. We had Gelly. Gelly was there. Sizzle was there.
And then I think you guys was it, like Ronaldo Lopez was down there for a little while.
Yes, he was there for a little bit. Yeah, we he worked out with us one or two days. He didn't do much of the stuff on the field, but right. He worked out with us in the gym. Yep.
All right. So I mean, the White Sox. I don't know how many other teams do this, but I mean, the overall experience for you guys, kind of. I mean, right before spring training here, I guess not right before, but you guys have what three weeks or so, 10 days, 25.
Yeah, like three and a half weeks.
Yeah. So I mean, a lot of you guys got together, and I don't know if you've. How many of the guys that were there that you'd never met before, but I'm sure there were guys there that hadn't met each other before, so I'm sure that was a good thing for everyone too.
I mean, from the guys that was there that I've never met before, I mean, I've met them, but I've never really had a chance to have conversations with them. It would be like Dane Dunning. That was the first time I really got to hang out with him. Even Steele Walker, since he had just gotten drafted, and I haven't really met him. Even Dylan Cease, I mean, I only got him to see for a little bit in spring training last year. I didn't really get to hang out with them. And from the – even Eloy, I mean, I never really hung out with Eloy. I mean, you hear all the – everything about him, and right. And he's kind of like – I mean, he's just a great guy. I mean, you don't see him on paper, he's good. And then even as a person, he's just a great dude to hang out with, even talk to. I mean, we got to talk a lot about baseball. Zebby was another guy I got to hang out with that, I mean, I've – heard a lot about, never really got to hang out with him either. So, I mean, other than that, it was good. I mean, those guys were just a good time to be with.
All right, let's go back to your season, this past season. You spent time in Kannapolis, and then mid-season or whatever you want to call it, not all-star break, but, you know, midway through the season or whatever it was, you moved up to Winston. I saw you guys play, obviously, a lot in Kannapolis and then in Winston, too, so... Starting in Kannapolis, you guys had a lot of talent on that team as well, and then some guys that weren't even, you know, that got hurt from Cade and then Jake, who never even played, and then Luis Robert was there for a little while, then he didn't play a lot. But, I mean, you guys had so much talent, so what's it like playing? I mean, we'll get to that same situation in Winston, but what was it like playing in Kannapolis for you?
It was fun. It was good. I mean, we had Luis Gonzalez there. We had a lot of good prospects there. I mean, it was fun. I mean, we got in the streak where we were just winning games and it was just coming easy to us. And you were never, ever dreading going to the field because you were always surrounded by such a great coaching staff and such a great group of guys. And we were just enjoying every bit of it. I mean, everything to the locker room, to the field, to even practices, you never really, never wanted to be there. It was always just awesome. It was good. It was a great experience.
So then you moved to Winston and then learned from, you know, from one of the best to do it in Omar, and you know, what was that like for you to learn from? I don't know what your interaction with him was prior to getting there, but what was it like to pick up a few things and learn from, you know, one of the best middle infielders ever?
I mean, as being an infielder, learning from Omar Vizquel is actually one of the greatest, probably if not the best moment of my life. I mean, obviously he played in the big leagues for so many years, and for you to be able to learn from him one-on-one, it was great. I mean, he helped me in so many ways and so many situations. He would sit me down when I wouldn't do something a certain way, or if there was a situation I could have done differently, he would explain to me in a way I would understand. And he would put it in his own words, and it was just easy to understand, easy to interpret.
What about the other coaches on the on that staff? I mean, some of these other guys, it was some big league experience too.
Sipo was our hitting guy, and he was good too. I mean, everything we wanted to get done to before, even after games, he was there, and then we would go to video if we needed video. Then we had our first base coach and catching coach, Q. We called him Q. He was good. He was around the same page as Sipo with hitting wise. If we all had a question about a pitcher or what we were doing wrong in this game, or, because, I mean, it's a lot of games, and your swing isn't going to feel the same every day. And both those guys did a great job in keeping us on the same page.
So how about your individual season? You obviously played very well this year in Kannapolis, and it seemed like you you hit even better, it seemed like, at times in Winston, and then you drove in, you know, quite a few runs in Winston as well. But what kind of adjustments did you have to make moving from Kannapolis to Winston? I mean, obviously, your approach, no matter who you're facing, I would assume is relatively the same, but I mean, outside of situational hitting and stuff like that, but what kind of things did you have to adjust when you moved up?
Definitely would be the pitch, facing the pitchers. I mean, the pitchers from low A to high A have, I would think, a little bit better stuff and right. better command of their stuff. And I think that was one of my biggest adjustments, was on that. Facing different pitchers, and I mean, they would throw you different pitches at different counts, and it was just a bigger adjustment. So I remember my first week there, I was like 2 for 20, and Sipo sat me down, and when he talked to me, he was just telling me like, it's not a different game. I remember, I'll never forget, he told me it's not a different game, it's the same game. You still have a bat in baseball. It's just a matter of just being more patient and waiting for your pitch. Because I know in Kannapolis I was a little bit more aggressive than I was in Winston. So I mean that. When he told me that, I just took off, you know. And I know Omar also told me, why don't you try taking a pitch? You know, why don't you try today? Let's do something different and take the first pitch and see how that goes for you. And I did. I mean, I did that, and that was the first day. I mean, that was my first game. I went 5-5. I really broke out from there. And from there on, it just kept going.
You had I remember one game I wasn't there. There was, I think it was the extra innings, the walk-off grand slam. What was that like?
That was the greatest moment of my life in baseball. I've never been a part of something so great, and the atmosphere was just awesome in Winston and from the dugout. And I remember before I going up to hit, before the whole thing came out, before the inning even started, Omar comes up to me, he goes, you might be the one being able to drive in the runs. And I was like, I don't know, there's a lot of guys in front of me. I mean, anybody can do it. I mean, it's a great lineup. He's like, no, trust me. And then I ended up coming up, bases loaded. And he's just laughing at me. We're staring down at each other as I'm walking up to the hit. He's smiling. And then next thing you know, I mean, he throws me a fastball, and I just get my hands in it, and it was good. I got the barrel to it, drove it, and as I was walking in, he, like, high-fived me, and he said, I told you. And then it was good. I mean, it was just amazing.
That's awesome. It was a fun season for, you know, both halves for you guys. Let's talk about some of the other guys as well, and then I'll ask you kind of get what you're doing right now, and then what you're looking to move to improve on next year. So some of these other guys you played with, I mean, the amount of talent you guys have is pretty outstanding. From I guess the pitchers, you know, starting in Kannapolis, some of the guys you guys had a lot of guys that eventually moved up. But I guess one guy that people didn't get to see a lot was Cade, because, you know, he got hurt. And I talked to Cade a little bit before, but what was it like when Cade took the mound for you guys?
It was lights out. I mean, there was time. I mean, every time you would look at the rotation and Cade was up, you would know it was going to be a close game, that the hitters were going to have to do their part of the game, because you knew he was going to do his job. I mean, Cade was like, he was like a bulldog out there. I mean, he was just like, he had a ton of vision. He would go in and just do what he had to do and keep us in it every day.
Some of the other middle infielders, maybe a couple guys that don't get as much, I don't know, publicity or whatever it would be, Tate and Luis Curbelo. I mean, those two guys. What was it like, I mean, for you? I know Luis was hurt for a good part of that first half. And then even Yoan Cruz. I mean, you guys had a pretty solid infield there.
Yeah, we had great I mean, between me and Tate, we would have good communication. I mean, we got to play a little bit together in spring training. That was actually the first time I met Tate. And then throughout the year, me and him just we got a bond. I mean, we were together for so long, and it was easy. Like, we would know when to turn a little play. There was times we wouldn't even have to communicate these things, because we would just know. Even on when we would dive up the middle and everything, we just clicked throughout the year. And that was to my left, and to my right with Yoan Cruz, it was a similar thing. And when one of us messed up, we would just tell each other like what would happen, and then we would just move on from it and just get each other better.
one other guy in Kannapolis that was that moved up to Winston with you is Luis Gonzalez. I mean, that guy, another guy that so much talent that just because he wasn't a first round pick, I guess some people going into last year may not have heard of him or whatever it is. But I mean, everybody knows who he is now that that follows not only the Sox system but minor league baseball.
Luis Gonzalez, he was my roommate. He was my roommate in Kannapolis. He was my roommate in Winston. And when I tell you he's one of the strongest mentally person I know, he is. I mean, that guy, he could go 0-10, and then he would be in the third day and be like, lads, today I'm going 3-3. It doesn't matter. I might hit 3 homers or 3 doubles or 3 singles, but today I'm going 3-3. And his attitude towards every play was aggressive. He never gave a play down. He never let one bad moment take over any of his other moments in the game. I mean, it didn't matter. I mean, I can't even put into words how great as a person he is and as a player he is.
Some of the other guys that you played with in Winston, some of the other top prospects, I guess, Luis Robert and Madrigal, and you didn't play with Dylan there in Winston, but the system is loaded. So what is it like overall for you to share a field with these guys, to take BP and, to just mess around and learn from these guys? What's that like for you?
It's amazing. It's amazing. I mean, obviously all these guys are up there. I mean, they're one of the greatest players in minor league baseball, and one day we'll be in the big leagues, and it's just awesome being able to be a part of everything the White Sox are doing right now and being a part with them. Nick Madrigal, Luis Robert, those guys, I mean, they're just great. They're just great. Nick Madrigal, his attitude is just great. He's a good kid, a good guy, and even playing on the field and learning from him, it's just awesome. Nick, it's just, he has an atmosphere to him to where it doesn't matter what anything comes his way, he's going to knock it down.
So, I mean, definitely not belittling what you did this year. I mean, you showed you belong with these guys, and you yourself had a great season, and you came on the radar with, a lot of people didn't know who you were coming into the season, but now you're on the radar as well. And I know that, you probably feel like there's, things you can improve on as well. So what are you doing this off season to be that much more ready for spring training this year, and then to even have a better year next year?
This year I'm really working on, one of the main things I'm really working on is probably my flexibility. If I want to stay in the middle infield, okay, or maybe third, probably my flexibility would be one of the main things I'm working on. And my strength, I mean, I'm trying to maintain the same strength I had last year, and I want to keep it through all 440 games. So, but my main reason, biggest thing is this offseason would be my flexibility. I mean, I'm doing some yoga in the mornings now to maintain my flexibility in my hips. And I'm doing more agility. So that's one of the biggest things I'm working on this offseason.
So when you are ready, out of spring training, what's something I guess you want to focus on at spring training this year? Not, obviously you can't have game reps in, I mean, you not like in winter where you can, in spring training. So what are some things you want to work on in spring training then?
Staying healthy. Okay. That's one of the main things. That's one of my biggest things, always being able to play those 140 games, because you never want to miss a game. You always want to be out there staying healthy and working hard every day. I mean, everybody's out there trying to win a spot, so you really want to come out there and break with a team. So that's one of my biggest things, is going out there, doing my best, and going hard, always going hard. I mean, we're out there for a long time, and it's tough. Sometimes it's mentally fatiguing, but you really can't let that bring you down. And I just try to be out there at my 100% always.
All right, lads, you got a couple more weeks here until spring training, and then what is it, first week of April, or that first weekend of April, whatever it is, minor league season starts for you guys, and I'm sure you'll move up quickly. So thanks for your time, man. I appreciate it. Good luck, and we'll be in touch. All right, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Welcome back to another Future Sox podcast, our second one of 2019, and taking his time tonight to chat a little White Sox baseball and obviously his career is Blake Rutherford. Blake, thanks for your time, man.
Of course, thank you, Simon.
So before we get to last season in Winston-Salem, let's talk about your off season. So what are you up to now? When are you hitting and throwing now? What's your off season looking like?
Yeah, I've been working out at a place called Proactive Sports Performance. I've worked out there the past couple of years. My trainer, Ryan Sorensen. There's a good group of guys there this year, both minor league and major league players, so I've been working out. Just recently, I really started to start hitting, just kind of working on some stuff, making some adjustments. And I understand that too, not that far, but just kind of working into it, trying to regain the arm strength and continue to build on that. But last season's been really good. I'm surrounded by a lot of really good players that I've already learned a lot from, and hope to continue to learn as this offseason wraps up.
So I was going to ask you this a little bit later, but I know a lot of Sox fans know. You know, you have a good relationship with Christian Yelich, and like your brothers played together or something like that too. So what's your relationship like with him, and what an end of the season he had?
Yeah, my older brother played with his middle brother in youth baseball, and our family kind of met each other, but I never really knew Christian that way, older than me, obviously. But we spent most of the working out of Proactive, and we've kind of become really close. I mean, he's kind of a bigger brother, bigger to me, just always kind of messing with me. But I've also learned a lot from him. I mean, he's been a big help to me in my career, and even today, just hitting with him and just the little stuff that he's been able to help me with. And he's always just checking in on me. I mean, throughout the whole season, cool checking here and there and just make sure things are going well. But I mean, he's a great person. And as far as anything's year goes, I mean, it was incredible. And I always told him that I just kind of want to know what a month like that feels like. Just everything you hit, I feel like it's a home run or you hit really hard. But as far as the person, I mean, he's a good person and he's always looked out for me. And, it's someone that I look up to for sure, just as far as what he can do on the baseball field, but it's the stuff he does off the field and the community too.
All right, so let's talk about your season in Winston-Salem. I see you guys, I don't know, probably 25 times or so. And I mean, your first half was obviously incredible, as was your second half. And I think the most interesting part about it was, I mean, you guys had, what, 6-8 new guys come in after that first half, and it seemed like you didn't skip a beat.
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that team was one of the closest teams I've ever played on. From the coaching staff and staying that in to just all the players. I mean, I feel like we genuinely really like to be around each other. And just like they came up, kind of fit right in and just kept on pushing and going forward. But Omaha did a great job just keeping it loose in the locker room, keeping it fun in the background. I feel like we all enjoyed playing baseball the whole year just because of how loose they kept it. And people and everything continued the same way. And Sankey and just everyone was there to help out. I mean, I feel like it was just a really good time, and we just had a really good team chemistry, and I think that's why we were able to make it and win in the first and second half.
So let me ask you this. I think almost everyone would agree that the outfield depth in the Sox system is, I mean, it's extraordinary. Does that, knowing that, does that give you a little extra incentive? Does that push you a little extra when you're working out and doing things in the offseason and then during the season just to, I mean, feel like you have to do a little more?
I mean, I don't really worry about that stuff as much. Okay. I mean, obviously, I work very hard, but I don't really look at that to try to push myself harder. I'm just trying to maximize my potential and try to become the best player I can. As far as the other players and the other outfielders, especially, I mean, every single one of them is a tremendous player. I feel like I've learned a lot from them, just being around them and talking to them, and I feel like we're all kind of rooting for each other.
Right.
Obviously, we're all competing. We all want to make sure that maybe is with the White Sox, but at the end of the day, I feel like, especially in Winston, we were all looking out for each other, pulling for each other, pushing each other, and I feel like that's why we were able to have a successful season as a team, and also a lot of the individual players just said.
All right, so last year with Winston-Salem, 293, you drove in 78 runs, and obviously as you were talking about before, you know, all the other individual players on your team, very good seasons, and, you know, they have to be on base for you to drive in runs. So 78 RBIs for you, and you hit 7 home runs, but to 9 triples. So what do you think you did, or how do you think you improved in 2018 as opposed to 2017?
I feel like I just first off, my body is in a lot better safe as far as an end of the season team. I was able to maintain my weight better. Our swing coach, George, did a good job with me, just listening to me, how my body felt, and me just maintaining the same too, and just being able to keep the weight on too. I just felt like my body when the season came down to the end wasn't as run down as it was in previous years, and that was one thing. But also, I had a lot of fun this season. Not that I haven't had fun in the past, but I just enjoyed the thinking around those guys. And, they pushed me to be better, and I'm sure I push them to be better sometimes too. But I just feel like being around those guys and just having my body be in better shape, and just also as far as hitting wise, I think that was a lot more selective on the pitches I was choosing, and when I did get those pitches, I didn't miss them as much. I had to do damage with the pitches I got. So I'm sure all three of those things, along with some other things, there's a reason why I was able to have a little bit more success this year than the past year.
All right, so with that being said, what are you working on this offseason to get even better next season then? What are some of your main goals,
I guess? This offseason I've gotten a lot stronger. I've put on some really good weight. I feel like I'm in an even better spot than I was last year as far as how strong I am and how good I feel. And I feel faster and more powerful. So my body feels really good, but also just like little swing things. Just working on being in my legs more. I've worked really hard to make my legs one of the stronger parts of my body. And in my swing, I'm trying to work hard on using that even more than I have in the past. And Christian's been helping me a lot with that. And Braun has been in there. Just a lot of really good hitters I've been able to watch and talk to and just take little bits and pieces from that I feel like are going to help me kind of continue to develop and learn my swing. And I'll continue to work with Jelly and whatever hitting coach I may be with and just kind of continue to fine-tune things and try and build on a pretty good 2018 season.
So you talked about the going back still in the season here, you talked about the coaches and, you know, the environment at Winston. So, you know, Omar moved up to double A and I'm sure you'll be right there with them. But what was it like playing for Omar?
That was incredible. Omar's a fun guy. He likes to keep it loose. He likes to have fun. I honestly enjoyed my time being around him. He knows a ton about baseball. So anytime he was able to give us little insights into the game or stuff that's fun on, I made sure to listen just because that man had a lot of success in his career, was a very good player. And I feel like he has transitioned into being a pretty good, really good coach. Honestly, just being able to talk to the players, communicate to the players, and having gone through everything, he has a really good feel for just how our bodies are feeling. So he just has always put us in really good positions to succeed, to help ourselves and also our team.
So not just Omar, but I know one guy that we as Sox fans love, Aaron Rowan, spent a lot of time with you guys as well. What did you take away from Aaron, and how did he help you this year?
Aaron Rowan has always helped me since I've gotten traded over. He's another guy that's had a lot of success, and he helped me a lot in the outfield. I feel like I was able to become a better all-around outfielder, and I was able to take a little bit of pieces, whether it's the jumps I had or the wraps to the ball, and just kind of continue to develop as an outfielder. I don't want to be a one-dimensional player. I kind of want to be someone who can do all things. So he's helped me a ton. Honestly, base running, fielding, and even hitting an approach sometimes too. He was able to do it all. So he's had a lot of success. And I was another guy who's really been able to learn from and continue to learn from.
Two more questions for you, Blake. You said you put on you've put on some good weight. Now, is that because you want to add more power to your game, or is that just overall health, or what is that?
One more time, I think it was.
You mentioned that you've put on a lot of good weight this offseason. Obviously, you mm-hmm. know, good for your overall health, but are you wanting to increase your power output as well then, or is that?
Like I've always said, I feel like I have a lot of power. I just got to be able to tap into it, and some of the adjustments that I'm trying to make in my swing, not like longer distances and that, but just trying to get myself into a better position to be able to do damage with the pitches I get. I feel like that'll help me a lot, but I feel like added strength is going to only help or benefit the chances of me continuing to develop my power. But I feel like I do have a good amount of power, and it's just being able to implement into the games and making sure when I get the pitch, I don't miss it. and just kind of continuing to look for my patients if it's just the Anderson I need.
All right. Last thing I have for you, it's nothing to do with baseball, but you are a Jordan Brand athlete. So how did that all happen for you?
I'm not 100% sure how it happened. I just, when I got drafted, my agent told me, I've always loved Jordan Brand. Derek Jeter was my favorite player growing up. Obviously, he's one of the biggest Jordan Brand main guys. And so I've always just loved their stuff. And when I got drafted, there was a chance that I could be able to sign with them. So we just kind of waited it out a little bit. And I ended up being fortunate enough to sign a deal with them. And, I mean, it's been incredible. Just the people I've met, just the way they take care of me. I just feel like it's one big family there. And I've just been very lucky to be a part of their brand. And, I mean, they stand for a lot of really good things. So I was very fortunate to be able to be a part of the Jordan Brand family, and I hope to continue to hopefully be able to continue to be a part of the family as I can see.
All right, man. Well, thank you so much. Season's right around the corner, so continue to get ready, and good luck this year. We'll talk to you later. All right, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right, Clinton Cole and Jason Benetti. Jason, obviously, this is one of the best times for the farm system Sox fans can remember. I know you're obviously very busy during the year and don't get to see too much, but I'm sure you've seen a lot, and obviously you know what's going on. So what are your thoughts on this overall, on the overall system? Obviously, the prospects, and they're not all going to pan out. That's just the way it goes. But for the depth of the system, what are your thoughts on that?
It hit me last night, actually. We had a season ticket holder event at the Bridgeport Arts Center. And I was like, man, I'm surrounded on this stage by people way younger than me who are extremely talented. Like, this thing is raring to go at some point. There's a top to be blown off. And to be around it when it happens is exciting.
Here we go. Clinton Cole, Rick Hahn here at Sox Fest. So I asked you in the scrum about the catching prospects. I mean, obviously for Sox fans, it seems like for us that, since AJ, it's been a position of need, and obviously catching is a crapshoot. Anything can happen. But what is your timetable for these two guys?
In general, you like to see excellence and extended, for lack of a better word, we're talking ideal, so dominance at a given level. Both Sebi and Zach being at AAA next year, they're obviously a phone call away. Feel like Sebi, given where his defensive game is right now, could certainly help us in an emergency at the big league level if something happens. But would like to see him and Zach get continued reps at that level and show that they've mastered that level. They both very much could be in the mix for 2020, depending on how this year goes. And being just a level away, it's conceivable they contribute this year as well.
As everybody knows about, obviously Dylan Cease, but another guy that's right up there is Dane Dunning, a guy that in the deal with the Nationals came over. He played at a high level in the SEC, and he's got the talent. So what are your thoughts on Dane, and what do you think about him?
It's a shame that he had the setback last year with the forearm. That obviously cost him reps more than anything in terms of building up that innings base and continued success at the path he was on in Double A last year. Knock on wood, he's doing great now, and we look forward to him rejoining that Birmingham rotation. And given his pitchability and his feel, he's the kind of guy who, conceivably could come more quickly. We need to balance that against building up that strength, building up that taking a ball every fifth day element that comes at the minor league level. But had he gotten through all 28 some odd starts last year healthy, I think a lot of people would be talking about him as conceivably in the mix for the fifth spot this year. So job one for him is get out there, take the ball every fifth day at Birmingham. Over the course of the spring and summer, he'll show us like how close to he is on that time frame he would have been on had he not had the setback.
Last thing, so I spent most of my time in Kannapolis and Winston, so you know I saw Jersh a lot and Omar. I mean, Omar, just what a guy, first of all. But for Jersh, the youngest guy doing it, he's moving up. Omar's moving up. I know good managers in Birmingham and Charlotte, yep. But I spent the most time with those two. So for Jersh and Omar, what can you say about those guys?
You know, people do, understandably, the focus is on the on-field talent, the playing talent at the minor league level. But you also want to have talented individuals as coaches. And Chris Getz, and before him, Buddy Bell, emphasize that, of getting talented guys in the organization and giving them the opportunity to grow in managerial or coaching roles. And the two guys you mentioned, Jersh and Omar, have done outstanding jobs. Jersh for a little bit longer than Omar with us, but they both did outstanding jobs last year and earned those promotions for new challenges. You know, I'd add Matt Zaleski, former pitcher of ours, who you've obviously spent time with down in A-ball. He's been just wonderful. And the work that our guys have done on the player development side in terms of identifying coaching talent, it's again not as primary on people's minds as the playing talent, and I get that, but it's still an important part of the job.
So obviously Ricky's your guy right now, but I mean Omar, man, he just seems to be on that path. So I assume I'm sure you had other offers from other organizations. So what do you see for Omar's future?
Well, Omar deserves a lot of credit in that he was obviously a big league coach. He wants to one day potentially be a big league manager. And he could have very easily slid into other major league coaching opportunities. Those were available to him throughout the game. Instead, to his credit, he decided he'd go down to A-ball and manage for us. Now, he got a real talented team in Winston, and it's a beautiful place to manage in a great city and a great ballpark. And now he's moving up to Birmingham with a similar situation. So it's been good, but you don't see too many guys who spend as long as he did in the big leagues, much less are part of Hall of Fame conversations, willing to go back to the bus league, so to speak, after they've had a taste of coaching in the big leagues. But Omar felt this would be the best thing for him to grow as a potential manager, and I will not be the least bit surprised when he's one of the 30 guys running a club someday.
All right, thank you.
You bet.